Sharon Ward, Executive Director of Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Now, before we dive deep into the numbers and the policy, in general, what's the state of education in Pennsylvania, and why should the average person care?
Well, the state of education is very bad. The situation that's happening here in Philadelphia that we read about every day in the paper is being experienced in school districts across the state. There are 8 school districts that are currently designated as financially distressed and many more that are on that path. And the reason why people should care is twofold. The first is that schools that are constantly in crisis with respect to just basic operations and being able to have enough teachers and counselors and librarians are really moving away from their primary mission, which is to focus on educating the kids. And without sufficient resources that are delivered in a predictable way, we will be in crisis. That means that children who are currently being educated in these schools have fewer resources than kids that came before them. And that means they'll have fewer chances as they move into college, the workforce, and beyond. And a third reason is that as the state has reduced funding, which is, I think, one of the primary things that has precipitated this crisis, local taxpayers have been asked to pay more. If you think of school funding as a pie, some of the pie is local taxes, some is state, and some is federal. In most states, the state share of the pie is the biggest. In Pennsylvania, the state share of the pie is much smaller, and the local share of the pie is much bigger.
So what's wrong with that? Why shouldn't a community pay for their own schools?
Well, there are a couple of problems with that. One is that the state has a constitutional mandate to provide public education, and one that many people believe they are not fulfilling. The second is that when you rely on local property tax owners and local wealth, you get large disparities in the amount of resources that are available to those students. No student should have an education that's based on his zip code as opposed to what that child needs to succeed. And that's even more important now because we have moved to a system where the state has is asking all students to take certain tests, has requirements that students need to meet, and we should make sure that they have the resources in order to accomplish the goals that we have set out for them.
So we hear that we need a fair funding formula. If we don't have a fair funding formula now, what do we have?
Currently, we have very little additional dollars coming to schools, and what we do have is dollars that are coming not in any predictable way or with any rationality. And in fact, this past June, the General Assembly basically allocated a fair amount of new dollars based on who the politicians were rather than what the students needed. And that's certainly a system that we need to get away from.
And you can prove that?
Oh,
that it was based on who the politicians were?
Yes, you can. The additional dollars that were added by the state Senate went to the districts of state senators who had particularly distressed schools. So I would say yes. There was an attempt at creating at justifying it based on some factors, but they were not applied fairly. So, for example, a school district got additional dollars based on the number of English language learners they had, but school districts that had more English language learners than that didn't get any money at all. The same thing with size and over again.
And short of that fair funding formula coming, do we have a clout issue with our Philadelphia delegation?
It would be very useful to the students in Philadelphia if their elected officials were on the same page. And there are many of them who I think are all of the officials are working to advance the needs of students, but they're doing it in very different ways and they're not singing from the same hymn book. And until they sing from the same hymn book, elected officials in Harrisburg are less likely to be listening to what they're saying.
So what we've seen based on these cuts is class sizes increase, elective courses go away, decreases in tutoring, decreases in summer school, everything we've seen this summer and fall in the Philadelphia School District. Is there any doubt that these cuts are affecting educational outcomes?
A lot of times people ask the question, does money matter? And what we can see from data here in Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia is that as the resources available to school districts went up, so did students' scores on standardized tests. And that is true with both the state-level tests and also true with the national test. And Pennsylvania made more progress, actually, than the rest of the nation during the period from 2002 until 2008. Students made progress in all grade levels tested and in all subject areas. I don't think you can argue with success. That's pretty strong data. And the problem is that we were on the right track, and unfortunately, that train has been derailed.
Does it take a tax increase to get us to the funding levels that we need to be?
Can be accomplished in a number of ways. It can be accomplished through taking additional steps to close corporate tax loopholes. That has not been completely accomplished. We could look at ways to make our income tax more progressive. That could be helpful. We could impose the Marcellus Shale tax. That could also allocate some additional resources. And at the end of the day, we could have a small increase in the personal income tax, for example. We have the lowest top personal income tax rate of any state that has an income tax. So there's a little room to grow there. And that would accomplish two things. It would provide more money for the schools, and it would help to take some of the responsibility off local taxpayers.
So there's many in Philadelphia specifically who believe the only way out of this problem is going to be to elect a new governor. A, is that true? And if so, who's the candidate out there that has the best ideas for education funding?
I think if you here, Governor Corbett, he says that he has provided a lot of money for education. I think that there are a number of other candidates out there that are raising questions about that. But what's common in this gubernatorial election is that all the candidates are talking about education, and that's very good. We haven't seen platforms from all of the candidates, but what we hear and what we've heard from them is that education is going to be a top priority. And I think that's a very good thing. And again, we are in a period of crisis, of a train derailment. And what we need to do is to get back on track with adequate funding and a fair and transparent way of distributing that funding.
So am I hearing you say anybody but Corbett?
No. You need to have a governor and you need to have a general assembly, and both of them need to be committed to these two things. And I think if Governor Corbett and other members of the general assembly are willing to stand up for public education, to say that they're willing to have a formula, willing to spend more, and willing to raise taxes if necessary to do so, then I think those are candidates that a lot of people would support.
Sharon Ward, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. Thanks for joining us, Sharon.
Thanks very much, Kevin.